Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So these verses, as you know, that we are reading, they are in prose. So it was in the first verse, this 34th verse, that's the correct one for today? 34th? Yeah. That doesn't have a purport. So what I'll do is I'll just read this verse and the next verse, and then we'll go to Prabhupada. Uttareshu cha kureshu bhagavan yagya purusha krita varaharupa ase tvam tu devihasabu saha kurubir askalita bhakti yugeno padhavati imam cha paramam upanishadam avatayati. Sukadev Goswami. Dear King, the Supreme Lord in his boar incarnation, what is the name of the boar? Varaha, Varaha Rupa, who accepts all sacrificial offerings, lives in the northern part of Jambadeep. There, in the tract of land known as Uttarakurusha, Mother Earth, all the other inhabitants worship him with unfailing devotional service by repeatedly chanting the following Upanishad mantra. O Lord, this is text 35. This is the mantra that they worship Lord Varaha with. O Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances to you as the gigantic person. Simply by chanting mantras, we shall be able to understand you fully. You are jagya, sacrifice, and you are kratu, ritual. Therefore, all the ritualistic ceremonies of sacrifice are part of your transcendental body. And you are the only enjoyer of all sacrifices. Your form is composed of transcendental goodness. You are known as Sri Yuga, because in Kaliyuga, you appear as a concealed incarnation, and of course you always fully possess the pairs of opulences. Is it written in English? No. So I'll read it one more time. First I'll speak a little bit and then I'll read it one more time. That here, in this part of the Bhagavatam, in the residence, the chapter is entitled The Residents of Jambadeep Offer Prayers, there is a specific point that's being made. And that point is that the Supreme Person, Krishna, in all his different forms, he is worshipped all over the universe. There is nowhere that Krishna is not worshipped. Oh, he is worshipped in different ways. But everywhere he is worshipped. So here, in one part of Jambudeep, the Lord is in the form of Varahadev. Now, the Varahadev incarnation is very interesting. What is Varaha Dev incarnation? Do you know? A boar. Yes, a boar. Now, in English, there is a boar, and the boar has very big tusks, and he lives in the forest. And also, Varaha is sometimes translated as a hog, a pig. Now, just see the amazing point that's being made by the Lord Varaha incarnation, that the Lord, Krishna, even when he comes in the form of a pig, raise your hand if you've been to Vrindavan. Oh, it's not enough. One of the amazing characteristics or qualities of Vrindavan or almost any village in India that there are many pigs. And when you see a pig or a hog, how do you feel? You just, especially in Vrindavan, in the heat, in the summer season, they go into the sewers, into the gutter, and that are filled with water, and they go in there because it's so hot, and they just want to cool off, and they just sit there with their snout out of the water. Ah, and they're in the sewer, and they look like, oh, this is Swagalok. They look like they're in the greatest of happiness. And then they get out of the water. And what is the great terror, the great fear that enters everyone's heart when you see a Vrindavan hog getting out of the water after coming out of sewer? And he just gets out. What fear enters your heart? Yes, he's going to shake his body and some of that water is going to come onto you. Oh, so you immediately go so far away because such an abominable creature. But yet, in the Bhagavatam, in Canto 3, practically speaking, first incarnation we see or hear about in the Bhagavatam is when the Lord, when Krishna appears as a boar. Such an amazing pastime. Krishna himself comes as a hog for the purpose of what? What? What does he come to do? Yes, but what does Krishna come specifically as a hog? The pastime is actually wonderful. Swayam Bhuvam. The creation is going on. And Swayam Bhuvam, when the four Kumaras, the first entities that Lord Brahma creates right in the beginning of the third canto, are the four Chatusana, the four Kumaras. And Lord Brahma says, please populate the universe. And what do the Kumaras say? They say no. And Brahma becomes angry, and from his anger comes Lord Shiva. So something wonderful is created, then there is something dangerous because Lord Shiva is in charge of the destruction. And then something wonderful is created, then something dangerous and something wonderful, and then night comes and fog comes and something wonderful comes. This is the very nature of the creation of this world. We want everything to be wonderful. But it cannot be wonderful in this world, actually, unless we become extremely pure, not theoretically pure, but deeply, deeply pure. Then Vishwapana Sukhayate. Then the whole universe becomes filled with pleasure. Because, as Prabhupada explains in one purport of Bhagavad Gita, that a devotee, a pure soul, he lives in Krishna's mercy. For such a person who has that degree of purity, nothing exists except Krishna's mercy. He is living in that. Prabhupada also said, to live in Vrindavan is like living on the lap of Krishna. Because when someone is pure, or one is living in Vrindavan in the proper consciousness, then he knows, he sees everything as Krishna's direct hand, and Krishna's mercy, and Krishna touching him directly in the heart. This is purity. Tateinu kampam susamikshamano bhunjane vatma kripa vipakam. Jivatiyo muktipade sadayavak. A person who has this consciousness that I'm living in Krishna's mercy, and this has happened by Krishna's mercy, and this has happened by Krishna's mercy, then that person, he actually is in the spiritual world. He inherits the spiritual world naturally because he's already in it. He has the proper consciousness. But this consciousness is very, very, very difficult to attain. It is very deep. We can say, from now on, I'm going to see everything that happens to me as Krishna's mercy. But to maintain that consciousness, one's realization will be very deep, and Krishna will test how deep your realization is if you actually understand this. And really speaking, by the time we are leaving this world, and this, practically speaking, the mission of life, we see that the world like an hourglass. Is it a Hindi word for hourglass? With the sand coming through? Yeah, with the sand coming through, a certain amount of sand coming through on the top, and then a little hole over here in the middle, and the sand gradually comes down, and it is timed, so it's an hour, exactly an hour's worth of sand. So similarly, our life, the sand is filtered through. And if you think about it, in 100 years from some of the, how old are you? This one here. You, how old are you? Yeah. How old? Sixteen Sola. Is he the youngest one in the room? Maybe. But regardless of whether, perhaps I'm the oldest one in the room. 59? But 100 years from now, in 100 years from now, how many of us will be left in this world? Practically speaking, no one. Or one, or two. So everyone's time is running. And what is the purpose? What to do as the sand is dropping? We have to develop. The answer is that by the time our last grain of sand falls through, we have to understand that we are in Krishna's hands and under Krishna's protection, because there is nothing else. At that time, when the soul is leaving the body, there is nothing else that can protect us. Unless we have that kind of relationship with Krishna, that deep, that tested, that we are able to hold on to Krishna, his mercy, under every circumstance. I'm living in Krishna's mercy. I'm living in the lap of Krishna. Unless our realization is very deep, the difficult time of death, at the most difficult time of death, we will not be able to hold on tightly. So when difficulties happen in life, a pure soul sees Krishna's hand in this. And he watches his consciousness very closely. He watches his mind very closely. Where do I turn when there's difficulty? And again, I can say 100 times, and I've already said it 100 times myself and 1,000 times. From now on, anytime there's difficulty, I'm just going to hold on to Krishna. But it doesn't work like that. There has to be very, very, it's not just from the mind's desire. It has to be a full surrender of the heart to Krishna, a full taking shelter. And then, when we are leaving this world, we'll be able to call out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. As if I have been yours, when I'm leaving, I am also yours. You do with me as you like. Janmani, janmani, shvare, bhavadpad, bhakti, ahitai. You do with me as you like. I am yours. I am yours, servant. I am yours. This is Krishna consciousness. This is bhakti. You've placed me here to serve How can I serve you? I'm leaving this world now. How can I serve you? As you like. It's actually, we love to sing and we love to dance and we love to take part and we love to associate with devotees. We love to see the deities. But this deep depth ender of love, of affection, of complete taking shelter of is the purpose of everything. Bhajan kore sakore mrityu janle hoy. And this is the test. But in any case, this wasn't it may be the test, but it wasn't what I was supposed to be talking about. We were talking, making our way to the Varaha incarnation, how he eventually, after Brahma was creating something that was favorable, something that was unfavorable, which is the material world, because he was creating the material world. Then when Swayambhuva Manu and his wife Satarupa were created, he agreed to populate the universe. He said, I will do it. A place, a field of activities. And this is a fact for every devotee, for every servant. You need a service. You need a place to serve, a place to allow the inner, your bhakti, to manifest whatever devotion, whatever desire you have to please Guru and Krishna. You need a place for it to manifest. So Swayambhuva Manu needed that field of activities too. And he saw that the earth, the place that was his realm, he was going to populate, had fallen into the Garbhagriha ocean. And he immediately asked Lord Brahma, his father, help to bring the earth up. And Brahma said, this is beyond my capacity. This is beyond my capacity. And I have seen life that life has its way of taking away our pride. It has its way. Krishna has his way. When we're young, we don't know that anything is beyond our capacity. We can run as long as we want. We can study as long as we want. We can do it. We can use our energy as long as we want. And there is nothing we don't need anymore, in a sense. But as we get old, when our body starts failing us, our mind starts getting weaker, we meet so many people more intelligent, more this than us, more pure than us, more powerful than us. And then suddenly, we realize that indeed, things are beyond my capacity. And that was Brahma's realization, to live, how he was the most powerful in the universe. This is beyond my capacity. Is that good, to be in a situation that's beyond your capacity? To be on your control for a materialist? That's the most dangerous thing. The most dangerous thing. And therefore the materialist thinks, Ishwaraham aham bogi. I want to be the controller. I want to be the controller so I can keep things going the way I want. And that is why so many people, or everyone, is interested and wants money. Money means shakti. Because without money, without shakti, you cannot control. And without controlling, you cannot enjoy. Ishwaraham bogi siddham balavasuki. So therefore, when things get out of control, people become terrified in the material world. Fear enters the heart. But Brahma, his service of creation, had gone out of his control again. And the earth had fallen into the Garbhagriha ocean. And his reply was, it's better that we turn our attention to Krishna. We turn our attention to Krishna. This is out of my control, Krishna. Krishna, please help. I'm your servant. I want to do this in your service. If you don't help me, I can't do it. That turning to Krishna, again, is the actual of life, the practice of life that turns one into a bhakta, into a true devotee of the deepest level. And this is what we see in the Bhagavatam. From the beginning to the end, we see devotees simply learning from Dhruva Maharaj, who is in one kind of difficulty, his anger, to Lord Brahma. Everyone teaches us how we can turn to Krishna. And the most intense experience of that, of placing Krishna in the center and depending on Krishna, comes in the 10th canto, where we actually see the perfection of having turned to Krishna. After having studied the fine cantos, we are actually placed in the realm, that land, where not only has everyone turned to Krishna, everyone has developed the deepest love for Krishna and they care for nothing else in existence. Krishna is so much the center of their existence that they care for nothing other than his. That realm is called Sri Vrindavan Dham, where they love Krishna in such a special way, with such intimacy, affection, and love, that Krishna trusts them to depths that he can reveal his fullest nature to them because of their having turned to him with such completeness and love, that he trusts them so completely, he reveals his most intimate acts, his most intimate desires. Just a king. Most people deal with the king in the form of the government only. That is their qualification. People who are more qualified deal with the king in office. They see him, the president, the king. They can serve him very closely. But the people who love him the most, his family members, most trustees, go into the inner apartment of the king, the inner quarters of his palace, and they see him relaxing. They see him laughing. They see joking. They see him wrestling his young son. They see him, his son, on his back and riding the king. If the common people see this, they'll completely misunderstand, and they'll think, I won't have to listen to the king. But those who love him, who he trusts so completely, he allows them and them only to see him in that way. And if you want to go to Vrindavan, actually go. You have to be that kind of a devotee, because then Krishna will show you. If you're that loving and that trusting and you've made Krishna your everything, with nothing held back, then Krishna will show you his most intimate feature, just as the king shows his beloved family members. There's only one thing stopping us from going to Vrindavan and being with Krishna there. And this is what it is. It's not Krishna who says, no, you can't go, and holding back. But he's giving us this world so we develop this type of a bhavana. That is what the material world is. Therefore, Vishwapurna Sukhayate, for a devotee who sees the actual purpose, who knows the purpose, who has his relationship with Krishna, he sees Krishna's hand in everything. And when Krishna's hand is there, if Krishna's touched you in this way, even if it is roughly by his embrace, they become happy because it is Krishna's touch. But again, this mood, this degree of devotion cannot be imitated. It cannot come from the mind's desire, the I want this. It cannot be like that. It has to come from the deepest bhakti. So therefore, all our acharyas have said, no imitation, no imaging. Just study and practice, a field for your service. Krishna, when Lord Brahma said, we have to depend on Krishna, let us turn to Krishna, let us put our mind to him. And then something most amazing occurred, something that was completely unpredictable, that no one could have guessed, but out of Lord Brahma's nostril, a very small Lord Varaha came. God, birth from someone's nostril? Oh. And what form is he in? A hog? Who shakes and we all know. But there's very deep meaning in this. And what happens in the early chapters of the Bhagavatam are meant to prepare our consciousness for the most intimate parts of the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. So what do we learn from this? That even when Krishna takes birth from a nostril, after all, he's everywhere anyway. There's no place where he is. Even if he takes birth from a nostril, he is still the Supreme Lord. And regardless of the body that he appears to be in, even if it is the lowest of bodies, a pig, it is completely transcendental, completely beyond the material world. It is completely Satchidananda Vigraha. It is ecstasy, eternity, and knowledge. Regardless of the body that he's in, regardless of the place he takes birth, he is ecstatically transcendental. So Varaha Dev then expands and becomes big, does something wonderful. He lifts the earth. After he lifts the earth, what does he do? What does he do? He fights with Yaksha and kills him in a wonderful. These pastimes, they are incredible. But when you read them and read them properly, then they actually produce great ecstasy. So Varaha Dev does something wonderful that no human being can do. He lifts the earth, even couldn't do that. He's born from a nostril, he's in the form of a hog, but he lifts the earth. And then he kills Hiranyaksha, a powerful woman. So then we can say, okay, God. But this is preparing us. These principles, wherever God is born, it's transcendental. And the principle, whatever he does, and whatever his bodily form is, it's unlimitedly powerful. He was this small and then expanded so big and killed, lifted the earth. So his body, regardless of its form and characteristics, regardless of what it appears like, is unlimitedly powerful. These principles are so important that it deeply enters our heart, because if you think that Lord Varaha is difficult to understand as God, just wait till you get to the canto of the Bhagavatam and you see this little boy wandering around the fields of Vrindavan with food in his left hand and wandering around and playing his flute and decorated so beautifully, with peacock feathers and minerals of the forest and dancing with the wives of others in the middle of the night. These principles that whatever Supreme Lord does is completely transcendental, and it may appear to be something to the material eye, but to the spiritual eye, it's completely different. Therefore, these principles of the Bhagavatam are so important that we learn it from the beginning so our consciousness is right. The Bhagavatam is meant to bring us to Vrindavan, where Krishna can show us his most trusted, intimate dealings, so that within our heart can take birth the desire, I want to be there with Krishna, serving him, loving him. I don't want to stay in the material world and make believe that I'm a big man, that I'm important, that everyone loves me, that, oh, I could speak about the Bhagavatam and everything. All these things are completely useless, worse than useless. They are the net that keeps us in the real world. I want, me. Krishna bhule se jiva nadia bahimuk ata eva maya tare samsare raduk. Keep us. All these upadis, impositions over who we really are, they keep us in the material world. So I don't want the material world. No, not I don't want the material world. I don't want material consciousness. I don't want the consciousness that makes me think that I am the center, that I am shelter, that I can protect myself, that I can do this, I can do that. I want the consciousness that is Gopi Bharta Para Kamalayo Dasa Dasana Das. Because I want to go there. I have to have that taste for going there. Because as long as I have the taste for Ishwaraham Ahambogi, I have to stay here. And even if I want to stay here, I can't. Because the sand of my life is falling through that very thin section of the hourglass. There's one small point here. In the tract of land known as Uttarakuru Varsha, Mother Earth and all the inhabitants worship him, Varahadev, with unfailing devotion, unfailing kevala bhakti. That means their worship is fixed. Their shelter is him. It is tested. It is true. It is unfailing. And how do they worship him? By repeatedly chanting the following Upanishad mantras. So all the inhabitants, and when Varaha came out, Varahadevi came out, and he lifted the earth, and he killed, before he lifted the earth, all the Brahmins' presence, they recognized, he trumpeted it in such a way that everyone present, the Brahmins, began to worship him as Jagya. He is the object of Vedic sacrifices. The Vedas are meant to worship this Lord. The Brahmins are socham, they are clean. It's one of the characteristics of a Brahmin because it's sattvagun. And the pig is dirtiest, the dirtiest. And yet the Brahmins are worshiping him with the Vedas. To let us know, again, these points. Is the support, whatever form he's in. Even when he comes as that cowherd boy. Unlimited, that's what Lord Brahma's conclusion was. Unlimited potency. I cannot estimate how much potency is in your little transcendental body that is wandering around Vrindavan. I can't estimate with all my intelligence. I cannot estimate how much potency you have. I can just offer you my humble obeisances not to disturb your pastimes anymore. And he left. That's what Brahma said. So I didn't actually speak about I'll just read the verse, but tomorrow, since I didn't read the purport, tomorrow if devotees want, they can speak about that. I'll just read 35. This is the first prayer. So think of this in the frame of reference of what I just said. They're saying to Lord Varaha, they worship him, saying, O Lord, we offer our respectful obeisance to you as the gigantic person. And simply by chanting mantras, we shall be able to understand you fully. Prabhupada, in what he mentioned about Mahaprabhu chanting mantras, because by chanting mantras, we can understand him fully. You are Jagya. You are the Kratual. Therefore, all the ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifice are part of your transcendental body. Your body is transcendental. It is not of this world. And you are the only enjoyer of all sacrifices. Your form is composed of transcendental goodness. You are known as Tri Yuga because in Kali Yuga, you appear as the incarnation, and because you always fully possess the three pairs of opulences, the six opulences, Sarashwarya Purna. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Questions or comments? I don't know what time restraints are. Now it's just 9, probably the appropriate of the class. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for your very nice class. During the class, Prabhu, you mentioned that when difficulties come in our life, a pure soul evaluates his consciousness at that point of time because he's under that, he's going through a test. But all of us, particularly in a fight condition, when difficulties come into our life, we don't understand that is the time when Krishna is really tested. So how to get that into our consciousness at that point of time, because we are thinking that this difficulty has come into our life, but we don't understand it is Krishna. How do you know that it is Krishna testing us?
Well, that's the first question. How do you know it's really true that Krishna is testing you? That's, if you don't accept that this is Krishna, then you won't take shelter of him. To do this, one has to become convinced that nothing can happen without Krishna's hand. At least he's the anta. Bharta Bhokta Maheshwaram Paramat Mitti Chapyukto Dehismin Vishapara. What's the first line of that verse? Anumanta is the second word. Huh? Upadrashta. He's the ovya. Upadrashta mantra Bharta Bhokta Maheshwaram Paramati Chapyukto Dehismin Purushapara. Upa drashta. Upa means near. Drashta means seer. He is near and he's seeing, or we could say here. So either we learn by Shastra, we accept that unless Krishna permits it, cannot happen. We learn Tateyanu Kampam Susamikshamano. We all learn, at least I have learned by mistakes, and again and again and again and again and again. Then something will happen, and then my first reaction is to get angry, and I want to. And then I say, oh no, I just gave a class about how Krishna is doing everything, and there I've been revealed again as a hypocrite and a fool. That helps you very much, by the way. You preach others about what it is. And then it forces you to listen very carefully, because others can let their minds wander and even sleep sometimes. But the one who's giving class, he can't do that. Or at least he'll be very impressed when he does it. And then when you know what is right, and then you can't do it, and you fall down in, so embarrassing, and lift up again and try. And say just what Lord Brahma said. And this blesses the conclusion that Krishna, to remember you in all circumstances, the most difficult test is beyond my capacity. This is a job for you. Unless you help me, I have no ability. So there are different stages in this realization. First stage, becoming convinced. Yes, it's true. Krishna's mercy is there. Even though it definitely doesn't feel like his mercy, but his mercy is there. So that is the hardest, the longest part, becoming convinced. And that's, we won't talk about that one right now. That one's the difficult part, sense, for those who it's difficult for. Is Krishna really there? Is Krishna not really there? Is he really going to take care of me? But if after that part, even if actually Jiva Goswami says that the beginning of bhakti, quite incredible. He says the beginning of Shraddha, which is the Bhakti Lata Bija seed, is when you hear shastras by devotees that Krishna is so wonderful, Krishna can do this, Krishna will protect me, protect everyone. The beginning of shastra is of Shraddha, as you say, could that be true? Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not true. I don't believe it, but could it be true? Could it actually be true? He says, that's the beginning. So we usually criticize doubting, but doubting is the beginning. It's a function of buddhi, intelligence. So gradually, we doubt, we try it, we have faith. By hearing, we make our mistakes and we continue hearing. We learn to depend on Krishna. And at some point, we learn how to depend on Krishna. Here is a difficult time, and I'm not remembering you. Krishna, Krishna, if you don't give me the strength, I have no ability. Krishna, Krishna, I'm depending on you. Give me strength. And just in that of calling out to Krishna, saying you depend on him, that is Sharanagati. Gotripte Varanam Tata. And that gives you the strength, because the strong person knows his weakness, because everyone in this world is actually weak. So the strong person is the one who acknowledges his weakness and holds on to Krishna tightly. So although I didn't do it in an extremely systematic way, that's the proper way to do it. And Krishna, 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 I depend on you, and whatever pain you give me, difficulties it is, I know better than anyone else. People criticize me all the time, but I know how bad I am more than them. If I would tell them, really, I could point the right ways to criticize me. So I can't say that I don't deserve this. Okay, so you give me this, please give me the strength to tolerate it, give me the intelligence to know what to do, but whatever you give me, I accept. It's so much, Prabhu, much easier to give class to others about this than when it's happening. But yet, at the time of death, that will be my test. Life is my test, that is the ultimate test. Mrityu janle hoy. We look at the test as favorable in that sense. The test is meant, nowadays the concept of testing is wrong. The test is for student. I've taught something, the student has tried to assimilate it, to learn it. How much he has learned, he finds out that he needs more to see and prepare is for that when he takes the examination. So he gets back the assessment. And he sees, oh, I didn't do very well. I have to try even harder. That's the mean test. It's for the student. So every time we don't succeed in our test, first there's the embarrassment. Oh, no, I've shown my lack of devotion again. And maybe others have even seen it at the time. Oh, so embarrassing. All I can do is get up and try again. Please, okay, Chris, I don't strength get up even, but try again. And never give up hope. The devotees are kind, Krishna is kind. Never give up hope. Try again, try again, try again. And then when Krishna sees my devotee is so sincere, then he'll come to help. He's trying. He's trying and trying and trying and trying. Then he'll... You know, we all look for... Sometimes we go to a devotee, you know, a great sannyasi, we touch their feet and we say, oh, give me your mercy. What we're looking for is some magic, you know, so we don't have to work hard. So, but my experience is the blessing in a different way than we want. No magic. Yes, magic, but not that way. The magic comes by when we work. We try, we show sincerity. And then when Krishna desires, then something comes. When he desires, if he desires, and when he desires. But why give something special to someone who's not that trusted? And when sometimes Krishna trusts his devotees so heavily, excuse me, he tests his devotees so heavily. So heavily. Whoa. And we become a little afraid. Harishya Tadanam Sanai. Maharaj Prickett even asked this question. Right in the end of the 10th canto, he asks, if we worship Lord Shiva, so many good results come. And if we worship Lord Krishna, we see, and he was thinking, his Pandavas, his forefathers, everything was taken away from them. And there he is at the moment of death, practically. So maybe something came in his mind. He asked Sukadeva Goswami, why do the devotees of Lord Shiva, they seem to prosper, and the devotees of Krishna, they are tested. And Maharaj, and Sukadeva Goswami's comment was very, very strong and wonderful. When Krishna favors someone, he takes away all the support. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries on this, so powerful, so powerful. But showing always that it is Krishna acting, and it is not only for those most advanced and most exalted devotees. It is not for them, and Krishna leaves everyone else alone. It is not that. Even if once chanted Govind, Krishna's name once sincerely, and Krishna's caught by that, he explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar of Devotion, it's described. Krishna, he said that Draupadi, her one time calling out to me, Govinda, has put me forever in her debt, and I cannot forget her. This is Krishna. And that's what you see in Vrindavan. Actually, you don't see Krishna as the supreme enjoyer in Vrindavan. You see Krishna as the supreme servant of his devotees in Vrindavan. That's actually what you see in Vrindavan. So Krishna, he takes care. He takes care. He takes care. And every devotee who tries to do some service, every devotee, even in the first weeks, you try to do something, and Krishna will let you know that he's there somehow or another. Just when you think, oh, I'm doing this and what's going on, then suddenly you feel a little, oh, I'm always there, but letting you know just a little bit. Every devotee especially if you try to do something and do some preaching. And that's why preaching is so recommended. And that's why Prabhupada just pushed and pushed and pushed the devotees to preach, because it's the most difficult thing in Kali Yuga, to preach. So difficult. Krishna appreciates it so much, like the father appreciates one son help other son. He cares for his devotees so much, especially if you try to do something like that, someone else become to take shelter of Krishna. Is that all right? Cool.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, I have a question. Can the mercy of a pure devotee influence your free will? And if so, how?
Can it?
If it can, then how?
It can. What is the mercy of a pure, an advanced devotee? But what is it? Because we want mercy, ask for mercy. But what is it? What do we ask for? Magic? What is the magic?
No, you mentioned about Vrindavan, and you mentioned about it's not Krishna who's really stopping us to go there. It is on us of we surrender to Krishna. And then even Prabhuji was mentioning that, at time of difficulties, we really take shelter of Krishna.
Yes.
I'm trying to relate to myself on me. As of now, I cannot do it. So I have to depend on, our senior devotees, pure devotees, the acharyas take their thing. So I'm wondering can it really help me?
But what I'm asking, what do you want from them?
I want them to give me strength to surrender to Krishna.
Okay. And what's the step before the strength? It's the want. I want, I desire. It's very much, so much of what the mercy of a devotee is. It awakens in the heart a desire. A taste. You want what they have. In association, see, because it's preaching, really. It's really an open the heart. That's all it is. When a person who is a devotee opens their heart, it's preaching. Even if they don't say anything, if their heart is open. In Prabhupada's presence, it was so astounding. In fact, there was such a sweetness, and that sweetness I later discovered Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. That was the sweetness in Prabhupada's association. It wasn't just him, because he wasn't alone. What I discovered was because I traveled with him for a few weeks in 1976, and then after that I went to Los Angeles, and then Dallas. And when I was in Dallas, Texas, for the first time in my life, I had actually worshipped all big deities, Radha Kala Chanji, and walked to the altar, and immediately, without any prepared thinking, I just thought, oh, the feeling was, this is just like being with Prabhupada. Because I had just been with Prabhupada. So then I could understand that was Prabhupada's secret, very secret, that he always had, and Krishna, Bhavanam Pratyajamekam Nagachiti. The secret was that he was with Radha Krishna. And therefore, in his association, you always wanted his association. You wanted to be with him. You wanted, because you wanted to taste that sweetness. It was sometimes so frustrating, because you'd have so many problems, and this problem, and that problem, and this problem. And then you came to Prabhupada's room, you'd offer your obeisances, and he'd say, "So, everything is all right?" And there were no problems. And then you'd walk out of the room and then, oh no, they all had come back. It was very frustrating. And that's really, really disturbed. Then you could keep your problems with you. But that sweetness, that which is his Krishna consciousness, not some material charisma, power, but the sweetness of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, it influenced one to want that and want to see him, to want to please him, to love him. Want, the desire, is the gift. I can't depend on Krishna, but I want to. We talked about the different stages. The first, I don't want to depend on Krishna, but then you hear, and then maybe I should depend on, is it, could it be true? And then Shraddha takes birth. And then by practicing a little, faith increases. And very much, Shraddha, it increases the association of devotees. Sadhu Sangha, Namakirtan, Srimad Bhagavatam Shravan, just an increasing of Shraddha. Increasing of Shraddha means an increase of taste, because we're looking for taste, something to satisfy the great emptiness of heart that everyone experiences in the material world. And when we try to become happy by gaining this and gaining that, and money and wealth and fame and family and beauty, and no satisfaction comes to the heart of the quality that we want. But when we get a glimpse of that taste, a hope takes place. And then we cultivate the taste until we'll have the remnants of Vrindavan have taste for nothing but Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Radha Gopinath, Lalita Vishaka, Radha Gopinath. Nothing. What is just, you read Krishna book, you read 10th canto. And what do they do all day long? Just thinking about Krishna. And for me, you know, after a while, I have to go to the internet, you know, I have to pick up a newspaper, do something, all this talk about Krishna. But they have no other taste. You see the way Krishna is sitting like this, and all day long they're cooking, they're herding the cows, they're doing this, they're doing that. Only one taste they have. Krishna, 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 Krishna. One taste. It's expanded, so it's everything. Practically speaking, their bodies are composed of that taste. That's all they are, is that taste. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That's who they are. Would you like to be there? Yes? Yes, yes. Yes. No? Yeah, we want to go there. Everyone wants to go home. There is no place like home. And the Bhagavatam, it describes like it's like a traveler home. After so long being out, so long buying and selling, gain wealth, so much difficulty. And when he comes near home, it's all the difficulty. Speak of when he gets home. So let us go home. Let us have that taste. Let's have that taste and give that taste. Is that all right? So your question was, what is the mercy? What was your question?
My question was whether the mercy of a pure devotee can influence our free will.
So now is it clear?
Yes, very clear. Thank you.
And we always have our free will, because without it there's love. Actually, I've met devotees who are angry at Krishna. for giving them free will. Really, I'm serious. Why did he make... And because suffering. Actually, consciously angry at Krishna because of that. But it's actually the greatest gift. And all we have to do... Early days of the Krishna consciousness movement, all the devotees would always just take one step to Krishna, and Krishna would take 10, sometimes we'd hear 100, sometimes we'd hear 1,000. The one step is our free will. And some one person's one step be just like the smallest, smallest. Other person's one step may be like that. But let us all take one step, even a baby step. Any other questions, comments? I shouldn't have said that, because it's up to him, of course. What's your name, Prabhu? Did we ever meet? Where are you? You're from the United States? Can't where? Oh. I guess so. Close, maybe.
When a devotee performs a bit of service, Krishna lets us know that he's there. And so I was thinking, how does Krishna attain this? Sometimes how does he do this? How does he let us know he's there?
I should actually have said that, really. Because then everyone, okay, I'm doing some service. Okay, Krishna, you haven't shown me you're there. I'm waiting. And it's not like, and you haven't shown me, therefore you're there. So I really shouldn't have said that. But what I meant was that if we just, don't think, oh, Krishna, you have to show me that you're really there. But if we just simply try and serve, even though we may not think, we may not be able to see Krishna in Vrindavan right before us. When he desires, if he desires, he lets us know intimately that actually he's there now and he's open and very private. And if you try to explain it, these are the things I shouldn't talk about. And if you try to tell someone after, oh, that's your imagination, and or maybe, you know, there's another explanation. But you, this is impossible to have happened. It's only Krishna. But it is appropriate for me to say that every devotee who has gone and tried to do anything in this world for Krishna, preaching or anything, and taking some risks. You add the stories of how Krishna protected them and how Krishna was there. You ask any of them and they'll tell if they so to open up their treasure chest in their hearts. They will tell you. But again, I probably shouldn't have.
Thank you, Bridget.
So I experienced it. Yes, you're doing something, you think, oh, I'm all alone. Maybe I'm just imagining this, that. You know, mind is going on and on and on. Suddenly, in a little subtle way, Krishna lets you know, I'm here now. And then you understand, oh, that means he's always with me. But I'm such a rascal, and my faith is so little that he has to say, don't worry, I'm here. Such a little baby. Little babies need that constant reassurance from their... But at the time of death, it must be strong. And we also need the help of the others. And we saw this recently with Bhakti Tirtha. This is all Bhakti Tirtha. Such a great soul. So, And look, Krishna put, what a test. Oh. He took it and taught with it. What to do in this impossible situation. So the devotee is always asking, okay, Krishna, I'm just, how can I serve you? How can I serve you? You put me in this situation, how can I serve you? You put me in this situation, how can I serve you? You put me in that situation, I serve you. How can I serve you? Krishna, I don't have strength. Oh, Krishna, 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 help. Krishna, 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 I'm yours. All right. Do with me as you want. I'm yours. How can I serve you? In that week, born the greatest. On our own, we can bluff others and we can even bluff ourselves. I'm so strong. But nothing born out of that. That's ultimately proved to be weak. Where are all the strong people of history? Where are they now? Where do they go? The big, famous, strong, wealthy, the empire builders. You know, the kings. You read the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, king after the next, after the next, after the next. Where are they now? Where is my strength? The real strength is born out of Trinadapi Sunichena, Torodapi Sisuna. Because then Kirtaniya Dahari. The material world, this I can say, is guaranteed to prove to us that we are weak. It will crush us. It will crush each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. Time. Smin loka chayak. It will crush everything. Powder. Even said, I'm old. An old man cannot be proud. What are we proud of? When I was young, I could run. I could run 5 miles, 10. Now I can walk, be hurt, that. That physical ability, finish, no more pride in that. I used to have hair, whether now it's gone. My hair, I used to look in the my friends had hair, and it was, I had curly hair, it was brown, I was so upset. I'd sit in front of a mirror, make hair away. Now, no, gone. I can't see. My teeth are falling out. Can't digest. Whatever. Remember things starting. Balance. What do we have? Everything will rest. So that is what the material world is going to do to everyone. Pride. And hold on to Krishna tightly. Become strong by his grace. That is strength. That's what he said, that Srila Bhaktivinoda, his father, him to take care of whom, to take initiation from whom? Srila Gaukasura Daspati. And his comment was very, very wonderful. He said, I have watched and examined the character of the master, Srila Gaukasura Das Babaji Maharaj, have understood that only a Vaishnava can have character in this world, can have integrity in this world, can be strongly fixed in his ethics, in his, can have character. What did he mean by that? Because it's so much nowadays people talk about integrity. And people are frustrated with politicians because they show to leaders. We're longing to have integrity, to be true to our peace, and to be with others who have such integrity. So the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I have Vaishnava can have integrity in this world. Because he has so valuable. His principles, his qualities rest on something so valuable that nothing in the material world can lure him away, can make him compromise. Not all the wealth, the namnasim, kavitam. Kavita means what? Kavita means poetry. Not even be able to, the fine, subtle poetries of writing poetry. No one thinks of this as a great, but when one has a poetic, artistic mind, that is the greatest lure, to be able to write fine poetry. Even the Janmani, Janmanishu, I don't want anything can compete. My heart is fixed, so fixed in the shelter of Gopinath and Vrindavan, Sisi Radhashyama Sundar, that nothing is attractive in this to me. Imagine, just imagine the depth of surrender and love that Srila Gorkhashwar Das Babaji Maharaj had, where Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur could rise, that there was nothing in the material world that could lure him from Vrindavan. So how one get that strength to resist the material world? The material world will test you. Test, oh, I'm a Vairagi Baba. The material will test you. Oh, let's see. The test again is for you. See how Vairagi you are. And if you're holding on to anything, so Maya will come. Oh, Haridas. And everyone has their points where Maya will come in. Everyone. So what do we do when Maya... Yes. Krishna. First and the hardest part is making the choice. What you want? Free will. And then Krishna, 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 Krishna. And then we become strong. Krishna, if you don't help me, I'm finished. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Weakness can be born strength. There is devotion. The fool is used properly. Yes, cool. Just question is, how to avoid getting prana strength you get from Krishna? There's only one way, and is that you're a servant. This is so much of the third canto of the Bhagavatam has this one message, that the whole material world is false ego. False ego means any other identity. Thinking of yourself in any other way other than a servant of Guru Vaishnavas, Krishna. There's no other way. So if you do something successful, Krishna's grace, then everyone say, oh, how wonderful and how wonderful. And it may be your duty to go like this. Like the Guru has to accept that if he so desires. But if inside he starts thinking anything, that yes, I have done something wonderful, yes, I'm guru, yes, this, yes, I'm that, yes, I've done, to the smallest thing, yes, I've swept temple room nicely, yes, I've cooked nice, oh, Prabhu, you cook so nicely, a nice painting, you've taken a nice photograph. Soon as inside in the heart, we, yes, yeah. Because who we actually are is an insignificant It's so hard to accept this. Because false ego means that the head. Ego means to feel one's the center of the universe. No wonder we're in so much anxiety. Because the universe, be sure the universe will not cooperate with us. It will be completely uncooperative. That's what the cause of the anxiety in the materials. If you think you're the center of the universe, try to drive downtown in Bombay in a car in the middle of the day. The whole universe refuses. That's why Maya also means mercy. The universe simply refuses to cooperate with the false ego. I am Ishwaraham Maham Bogi Siddham Balavansuki. Because why? Because Krishna is the center. So any other identity that I am and mine is false ego. So we have to learn to be introspective and recognize what our consciousness is doing throughout the day. Not just work, 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 work. We have to be introspective. Where is my shelter? What am, how am I doing this as a servant? Maybe we'll know, sweeping the floor. Doing it as a servant, or am I doing it because I want everyone to think, oh, you swept the floor so nicely. What a wonderful devotee you are. Oh, you gave such a nice Bhagavatam class. Oh, you're so wonderful. Oh. And as soon as that thought, oh, it's the cause of the greatest, as soon as I say, yes, you're right. So then what's the enough for Krishna to Krishna Vrindavan? Because I still want to be the center. So he brings us to Vrindavan. How to become that trustworthy? Simple, become the 100% Ahitya. It's a loving servant of Krishna. It's so simple to talk about. Everyone understands the philosophy. Oh, it's so hard because of one reason. The foe. Very determined in the mind. To solve the problem, because it gets taste. Compare the tastes. When you're in the center, compare the taste with service to Radha Gopinath. Just compare the taste. One is empty, full of promise. Oh, if you become more beautiful, you be everyone. If you have more of this and more money, and if more of this, and this is what carries people from life to life to life to life, because everyone thinks, oh, I haven't been unhappy. I haven't been happy. Why? What do I need? Oh, because I didn't have enough money, I wasn't beautiful enough, or I didn't have straight hair. Straight only if I had straight blonde hair, then I would be happy. That's envy. Fills the heart with desires, desires stay in the heart, and they carry one to the next life, especially the older one gets. You remember, and I've experienced this myself, I used to be able to run and run and run, and now I watch people running, the boy and the young girl holding hands, and I think, oh, only if I could run again. This is what it's like being old. Only if I can run again. And then, only if this, only if that. Then you die. And this is what old men's consciousness are filled. Not so much because they're envious. They see other young people doing this and young people doing that. More, and Srila Narottama Das Thakur compares envy to like a spear in the heart. How could you be happy with a spear in the heart? Unless, because we're ourselves the same universe, and he has something that I want. So as if the whole universe, no one should have anything that I want. No one should be more beautiful than me. No one should be more wealthy than me. No one should be able to run faster. No wonder I'm miserable. It's envy. And I expect the universe to cooperate with that. Is that someone saying that it's time to end class? I hope. It's no wonder I'm unhappy. So I'm filled with all these old desires. because I'm his attachment. Love to swim in the water. And now I've become paralyzed due to stroke and I cannot swim anymore. Only if I could poetry again. Only if I could have not made that mistake. Only if I could have had this. The brahmacharis thing. Only if I could have gotten married. The household of thinking. Only if I could have stayed brahmachari. And then die, filled with those desires. The only if desires go through to me. Only if I would have learned Sanskrit. I can't, only if I could have learned Sanskrit. Only if this. Oh. Endless, only ifs. Should be only if, only become a servant of Srila Prabhupada. Only if I could be a sincere servant of Prabhupada and his servants. Only if. Any other questions? So very dangerous, these simple thoughts that go through all day long. Very dangerous. Therefore, we have to become, you know, deep, thoughtful, introspective. That means sattva-gun. Watch the consciousness and say, only if Krishna will help me, only if Krishna will give me shelter. I don't want this. These thoughts are going fine all day long. I don't want that. But one has to make that choice. Because if you want the things on this side, you'll get them, but not the way you expected. Thank you very much. No, don't, please. Have mercy to me. They'll say yes. In trouble.